There are going to be false Christs and false prophets. There are going to be bad shepherds again during the 7-year tribulation before the Lord comes. And we see that there's going to be one really bad shepherd. Zechariah chapter 11 speaks of a worthless shepherd, speaking of the Antichrist who is going to destroy the flock.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, give us an idea of what we'll be learning from the book of Ezekiel.
Well, Dave, after having looked at our last passage in the last few days, where God condemns the shepherds of Israel, we're going to see today what he's going to do about those shepherds and how that affects Israel's future. Okay, well, let's turn together in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34, and we're going to begin with verse 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, I've noticed on the internet lately there's a lot of so-called prophets out there and future Bible teachers type guys, and they're pointing to different events and saying, this event means this, and this event means that, and, you know, and certainly we know the Lord is coming, and we know the time is near. We've known that since Peter said the end of all things is at hand. But it seems like it's getting closer, and with that in mind, we so want to be with our Lord, we so want him to come, that I believe there are some people out there who use that desire to manipulate Christians to get focused on the signs of the times rather than the truth of the word. You see, we have everything the Lord wants us to know about the future in his word. And it's nothing wrong with saying and thinking, wow, he's coming soon. Praise the Lord for that. But we got to be careful that we're not sidetracked to focusing on current events and things rather than on what God has declared to be absolutely true. Now today, we're going to begin to see the unfolding of God's redemptive plan for the nation of Israel. We're turning a corner in the book of Ezekiel. We've been seeing judgment, 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 and now we're beginning to see his plan take shape, where he is going to bring about the redemption of his people. So with that in mind, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 to 31, and within this, we're going to see that this plan is unfolded in response to what God will do to the evil shepherds, and how he will ultimately bring a good shepherd to shepherd over his people. But he's got to get rid of the bad ones first. And so, with that in mind, we've been going through the book of Ezekiel, and it's a powerful book. It's centered around the third and final Babylonian siege of Jerusalem, and the destruction of the city, the walls, the temple, and the final exile of God's people to Babylon. And God has warned his people over and over again, year after year, 700 years, to repent, to turn to him, but they wouldn't turn. They didn't obey. They didn't listen. And yet God continued to warn them. We know that Nebuchadnezzar sieged Jerusalem the first time in 605 BC and took Daniel and his friends as the first set of captives. We know he sieged it again in 597 BC, taking Ezekiel and 10,000 captives. And then from 588 to 586, 585-ish BC, Nebuchadnezzar seized Jerusalem for 18 months, culminating in what I just mentioned, the destruction of the temple, the walls, the city, the slaughter of many, and the remaining survivors being exiled with the rest in Babylon. Now, this whole book is centered around this third and final siege. The first 24 chapters are prophecies up to that siege. And we've seen from that grand vision of Christ on the throne to his judgment and his commission of Ezekiel, through the signs and the sermons that pointed to how God was going to bring his judgment upon Jerusalem and that they needed to repent. We saw the message was, behold, all souls are mine. The soul that sins will die. But God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, they would repent and live. But unfortunately, Jerusalem was far from repentance. And then we saw that that siege had begun. And then we came to chapters 25 through 32 in prophecies during that siege, basically, where God prophesied judgment on all the surrounding nations in a circular pattern. And then upon Egypt, those who had been continually a thorn in Israel's side, either plaguing them by their hatred or by their help, rather than the Lord helping them. And so we saw that. And we saw that those nations in which Israel had commingled with, in a sense, religiously adding their religions, worse for the Lord, that the Lord would take care of them in judgment. But in chapter 33, we began to see Israel's restoration. We saw Ezekiel commissioned as a watchman again. We saw that the news came that the city had fallen and Ezekiel's mouth was opened. He had been dumb for 8 years and only able to speak what God would share through him. And as a sign, his mouth was opened. And we saw that he was to continue to share for the Lord. He was to share to those deceived people that survived in the wastelands of Jerusalem, that they thought because Abraham was one, that they would inherit the promises because they're many. Well, the point was that if you got sin that isn't dealt with, God's promises aren't applying to you. You need to confess your sin. You need to repent of your sin. And then we saw the Lord direct Ezekiel towards those within his midst who loved his preaching, who loved his teaching, but they didn't obey. They were hearers and not doers. And Ezekiel would need to know about them, that they don't obey, and that they would eventually know that God had sent a prophet among them. And then last time we saw that the woe against the shepherds of Israel, the leaders, the ones who are spiritually feeding Israel, who were to be doing so, we saw that woe because they had fed themselves and not the flock. Should not the shepherds be feeding the flock? And it's from this point, after this woe upon those shepherds, we're going to see what God does to those shepherds. And from that, we're going to see that he's going to restore Israel under a good shepherd. Let's take a look. Verse 7, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become a flood for all the beasts of the field and for a lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. Here's the first part of what we're going to see today, is that God is going to rip out the bad shepherds because they haven't been doing their job. He's going to rip them out. He's going to take them. He's going to demand his sheep from them. And so if you notice, our passage begins with the term therefore. You know, and we're not starting in the beginning of the chapter. We're starting in the middle. And it points to what we have been looking at already. Therefore, you shepherds, hear Shema, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. Now, you might remember we saw back earlier in the chapter God's condemnation of those shepherds, right? And because of his condemnation, he says here in this verse, therefore, listen to what I have to say. Hear the word of the Lord, he's saying. Look back at verse 1. We saw the word of the Lord came to me saying, that's Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? And we went through this last time. We saw that they were to be feeding, that Israel's shepherds, we saw this in Jeremiah, they were to be feeding God's sheep with knowledge. They were to feed them with the truth, with the word of God. We saw that example of Peter being restored when the Lord restored him on that beach after he had risen from the grave. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. That's what shepherds are to do, to feed the sheep, but they're also to protect them. Remember, we saw that these bad shepherds of Israel neglected the flock. How did they neglect them? Verse 4, those who are sickly you've not strengthened, the diseased you've not healed, the broken you've not bound up, the scattered you've not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. And this is a metaphor of sheep herding to speak of how Israel's leaders were to shepherd spiritually the nation of Israel. But they didn't do it. And what is it that causes sheep to stray? What is it that causes sheep to falter? What is it that causes sheep to fall? It is sin. What he's saying is the shepherds haven't dealt with sin. We saw back in Jeremiah chapter 23 that the Lord said, I did not send those prophets. If I did, they would have declared my words to my people and turned my people from their evil ways. But they didn't do that. And so the sheep were emaciated. They were in sin-sick condition. And the Lord says, therefore, I'm going to rip those shepherds out. I'm going to listen to my word. Therefore, he says here, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 7, as I live, declares the Lord. That's kind of interesting because God is the I am. He is the self-existent one. He's swearing on his self-existence. As I live, declares the Lord. Now, there is nothing or no one that is self-existent apart from God. He is the I am. He was, he is, and he is to come. He is the I am. The Lord God, we see. That's what that term Lord in large caps means. And so he says here, as I live, he swears upon his own existence. Surely, little verse 8, because my flock has become a prey, my flock even has become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. My shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather my shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Again, the shepherd metaphor. He says, therefore, then look at verse 9. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. This is serious stuff. You're a shepherd. You don't feed God's sheep. God's against you. We are to preach the word of God. We are to watch out for threats to the flock. We're to watch out for threats to those who are God's children, his people, his flock. We're to watch out for that. We're to shepherd the sheep. And so he says here, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against you. Serious stuff. And I mentioned this, applying this to a New Testament context last week. Shepherds are to preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. We're to share the word of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the very oracles of God. We're to share the word of God because that is the food that we need to grow in Christ. It is the food that protects us also from the bad things, right? Shepherds are to protect you also from those who would come in and want to destroy you spiritually, to turn you to yourself, to turn you to your own sin, to make it seem like you're following the Lord, but you're actually sinning, making that okay, but you're not. And so no matter how nice a pastor is or how much care he has for lost, I hear this all the time, I share this, I say, well, he loves Jesus so much. I say, does he really? What did the Lord say to Peter? If you love me, feed my sheep. If they loved Jesus, they would obey him. And the highest call for those who teach and preach is to preach the word of God. Paul said he didn't have any spiritual blood in his hands because he did not shrink back from declaring anything that was profitable. So our passage is saying that God is going to deal with these bad shepherds. And notice, it's a future tense here, middle of 10, and I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. Kind of interesting. He says here, make them cease from feeding sheep. Well, wait a second. I saw the condemnation of them earlier multiple times. Woe to you that feed yourself and not the flock. Wait a second. Make them cease from feeding sheep when they're not feeding the sheep. Well, they appear to feed the sheep. They act like shepherds. They're really hirelings, as like the Lord Jesus said, who have no care for the flock. They run when the wolves come. They don't care. They're not like the good shepherd. They're not under shepherds of the good shepherd. They're bad shepherds. And he says here, I'm going to make them cease from feeding. They're no longer going to be in a position to be seen as those who feed the flock. And actually, they don't. And I believe this points out to the deception of those who led Israel, those who crept in. They appear to be those who fed Israel initially. They appear to be that way. They appear to be those who are feeding the sheep. But they're not. And folks, there is nothing new under the sun. There are those who make a show of a Bible verse here or there, or these things, but they never bring it to the truth of the word that convicts and then corrects and then trains. It's something that is a feel-good deal for church rather than, hey, I'm a sinner and I need to be reproved that I could be changed and made more like Jesus. And God's word does that. And so we have a lot of people, so-called shepherds in the church these days, like Israel did, who appear to be feeding sheep, but they're not. So back here, God is saying about these shepherds of Israel, hey, I shall, middle of 10, demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. He's going to remove them. Before he restores Israel, he has to remove the bad shepherds. He's got to remove them, and he's going to do that. These sheep who would say they're being fed were starving, just like we see today. They'd say they're being fed, talk to people in bad churches, all being fed. They're starving spiritually. So he says, I'm going to make them cease from feeding sheep. And what's the result? Middle of verse 10. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth. That means they're bad, right? That they should not be food for them. This is the first step in the restoration of God's people Israel, is the removal of his flock from wicked under-shepherds. Now, has this happened yet? Has this happened? Has Israel been delivered from the bad shepherds, those who did not point them to the Lord through his word and address the reasons why they stray, which is sin? Well, certainly, God's disciplinary action upon Judah, bringing them into exile, delivered them from the bad shepherds initially. There's no doubt about that, right? Okay, but did it deliver them completely? No. We see bad rulers and bad shepherds of Israel arising again after the exile. We see certainly the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Jesus' day, bad shepherds, claiming to follow the Lord, but yet they were evil. And we see it was even these wicked rulers during the time of Christ, these bad shepherds, who actually delivered the Lord of glory up to the Romans to be delivered up for crucifixion. So they weren't delivered from them ultimately there. What about in 70 AD? Certainly the destruction of Jerusalem brought about a deliverance. Yes, it did. And now, although Israel is back in the land now, the Jews are there, they don't claim to be a theocracy at this point. The leaders do not lead them spiritually in any way, shape, or form. So those bad shepherds haven't arisen yet again. But we'll see in the tribulation, there'll be many, Jesus says, who come in my name. There are going to be false Christ and false prophets. There are going to be bad shepherds again during the 7-year tribulation before the Lord comes. And we see that there's going to be one really bad shepherd. Zechariah chapter 11 speaks of a worthless shepherd, speaking of the Antichrist, who is going to destroy the flock. So there's going to be a group of bad shepherds that haven't been removed yet that the Lord is going to remove. And they have to be fully removed before he brings restoration of his people. So then, God is going to remove them. This is a future prophecy. It's fulfilled in little pieces, but it'll be ultimately fulfilled, as we will see, in the end of the tribulation when the Lord takes care of all those bad guys. And he brings in his son to shepherd them in the millennium. We'll see that. So notice, he's got to remove them before he can restore his flock under the good shepherd. And notice, he's going to do that. He's going to restore them under the good shepherd. Verse 11, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." God's going to shepherd them, right? He's going to look for them. He says, "As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground. They will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest." Oh, this is wonderful. He says, declares the Lord, "I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick." This is beautiful. God is going to restore them. He's going to take care of us. We'll see sin. And he's going to bring, with the dealing with sin, with the result of that comes peace. So God himself is going to seek out his sheep. He says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, look, look," verse 11, "look." It says, "I myself will search for my sheep, seek them out." The bad shepherds didn't do it. So God himself will do it. In verse 12, "As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among the scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep." Just as a good shepherd goes after the scattered sheep, so God will do the same. And end of verse 12, he's going to bring them back from where they're scattered. Look at this. "And will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day." You see, the clouds and gloom speak of judgment. And God allowed his people to be scattered based on his judgment. They were scattered initially when they went to Babylon, scattering not to all the nations, but to Babylon, a little bit here and there. But at 70 AD, because of God's judgment, we see them scattered all throughout the world. Cloudy and gloomy day. He says, "And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries," plural, notice that, and bring them to their own land. There's a contrast between the countries that they were scattered to and their own land. You say, wait a second. They were taken to Babylon and Assyria, but they're not taken all throughout the world. But we see that later on, as I mentioned, in 70 AD, where the Jews were scattered throughout all the countries. They were scattered. You didn't have a Jewish nation after 70 AD until 1949. Quite interesting. Where God began to bring back his people to the land. And he says that in verse 13, and I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them from the countries, plural, and bring them out of the land. And I think he's not speaking of coming back from the Babylonian exile. That was a picture, but they came back from Babylon. Here it's coming back from all the lands and the countries to which they have been scattered. Okay? So God is going to bring his people back to the land. And what's he going to do there? He says there, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and on the inhabited places of the land. He's talking about bringing them back to Israel, isn't he? That's what it says, right? Mountains of Israel. I will feed them in good pasture and their grazing ground beyond the mountains, heights of Israel. Says it again, heights of Israel. They will lie down in good grazing ground. They will feed in the rich pasture of the mountains of Israel. He's kind of making a point here, isn't he? He's saying, I'm going to bring them back to Israel. That's what he's saying. And you can't miss this. He says, I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest. And it is hard, actually impossible, to say he's not talking about bringing them back to literal Israel. It's impossible to say it's something else. There's just no way around it. You can't say it's anything else. If you do, you are denying the flat out reality of the Word of God. Now, my friends, if you lean towards spiritualizing scripture, an approach which is wrong, you can't even spiritualize this passage. It's so plain. There's no way to even spiritualize it. He's bringing them back to Israel. It's just that clear. He's going to feed them on the mountains of Israel, the inhabitants of the land. He's going to feed them on the heights of Israel, mountains of Israel. The point is, he says back in 13, I will care for my sheep and deliver them from the places which they were scattered. The good shepherd is going to gather up the nation of Israel, that's his flock here, and bring them back to the land. He's going to do that. Verse 16, I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick. And let me ask you this. Has Israel been brought back to the land? Yeah, basically it has. It's quite amazing. If you want to look at that, look at the Word of God, go, yes, I see that. Has the nation of Israel been restored under the shepherd Jesus yet? No. Are they being spiritually fed by the living God and resting in him? No. Israel is in the land in current rejection of their Messiah. That's clear. So the latter portion of our prophecy here has not happened yet. So then you ask, when will it happen? Well, we get some clues in the next portion here. Again, verse 16. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick. Remember, this isn't a picture of a shepherd, right? A metaphor. He says, but the fat and strong I will destroy.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, we've just scratched the surface of these verses. What should we be looking forward to?
Well, Dave, what we're going to see is that God will remove the wicked shepherds of Israel and then gather his sheep into the land and purify the flock through judgment. And then only when Christ is reigning as the good shepherd will he feed them and lead them to rest. And they will live securely in the land, their sin forgiven, they being God's people and he being their God. Oh boy, there's a lot to come in the book of Ezekiel, so make time to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.